Okay, terrific. Welcome, everybody. Just so you all know, because we're just now getting started, we're going to hear a lot of people beeping in. We have a large number of people that signed up for this webinar today, about 140 in total. So hopefully we won't hear too much of that beeping in, but that'll give me a chance to do my presentation before we turn it over to our guest speaker today. But just to let you know, my name is Cindy Rayfield with a company here called FriendNet. And every month we do these webinars where we focus on one particular franchise concept and we let them tell their story. We find that, stories are great and people can really relate to that. So we'll get on with that here in just a moment. But let's go ahead and move to the first slide here and tell you who FriendNet is. FriendNet is a 30-year-old international franchise consulting company. Want to make sure everybody can see the slide. Karen, can you confirm for me that the slide says who is FriendNet?
Yes, it looks beautiful,
perfect.
Cindy.
Oh, good. We're moving along. So FriendNet is, a 30-year-old international franchise consulting firm. We've been around since, you know, the early days of franchising. We know what we're talking about. We've got over 100 offices in North America and Europe. So we've been around quite a while. We walk the walk and talk the talk in terms of franchising. We've worked with the Small Business Administration since 1987, and that includes the SCORE offices and the Small Business Development Center offices. Many of our FriendNet franchisees and associates are also SCORE counselors and SBDC counselors as well, offering free advice to people who want to be business owners. What we do at FriendNet is we match people who want to be in business with a franchise that meets their needs. The best news of all is we do this at no cost, and I'll tell you why here in just a moment. What we do at FriendNet is we do an extensive personality profile based on science so that we make sure that we understand what your goals, criteria, and needs are, and we focus on the best possible franchise concepts that meet your needs. So in essence, what we do, instead of somebody saying, hey, what's the hot new concept in franchising, we actually do is we reverse engineer that. We find out what you're like, what your goals are, what your strengths are, what your background is, and then we find something that fits you because that's really what franchising is all about. That's the key to success is finding that perfect match. So we provide you with coaching as you go through your research process. And the way we get paid, as I mentioned, there's no cost or obligation to our clients. We are like headhunters. So we represent about 150 to 175 franchise concepts at any one time, and we receive a referral fee from the franchisors when we place a client in their concept. So it really makes it a great program for our clients because they get to go through and dream a little bit without this obligation hanging over their head. Sometimes people buy and sometimes they don't, but our whole goal is to help find that right fit for them. So here's a little bit about me. There I am. Again, my name is Cindy Rayfield, and I'm actually a franchise consultant with FriendNet.
Cindy, you move back one slide. You're on my office.
We'll move back.
There you go. There's Cindy.
Okay. Moved too far. Sorry, there's a little bit of a delay. There I am. Okay. So I work in Colorado, Wyoming, and Montana. So I'm like the classic example of a franchisee. I'm not a franchisee for FriendNet. I'm actually an associate working for a franchisee. But we work in the Colorado, Wyoming, and Montana marketplaces. And in franchising, that's what you do. You have a territory that you work. I've spent 9 years, nearly a decade, as a franchise consultant with FriendNet. For 17 years, I was a business owner in various types of businesses, both as a startup and a franchisee. I have a corporate background in marketing, finance, banking, telecommunications, very basic business skills, which we look for when we're trying to find somebody a franchise. We don't want somebody that wants really detailed knowledge of a particular niche concept or niche market. We want people with well-rounded business skills so that they can step in and be owners. And I'm a graduate of the University of Denver, and Karen is also here in Colorado, so I can safely say that I'm a proud Broncos fan, and I hope there's a few on the line as well. We're very proud of our Broncos here. So with that, what I'm going to do is turn this over to my guest speaker. Let me do a brief introduction here. We're going to talk about today's franchise concept. This particular business that we're going to present provides flexible workspaces that combine the convenience and ease of use of a Starbucks with the professionalism of a traditional office space. And it's all without a long-term commitment. So if you think about it, many people might refer to this industry as executive suites, virtual offices, co-working, service offices, or shared offices. And Karen's going to explain how that works here in just a moment. A typical location is primarily located in the suburbs with easy access to buildings. It's easy to use. The locations are easy to use, and that's really the key to success. We like to say, in their industry, they like to say that they're sort of like the Southwest Airlines of the industry, flexible, easy, and fun. And I'll let Karen dive into that. So for the full presentation, let me introduce Karen McLeod, and I'll let her introduce herself and this particular franchise concept. So welcome, Karen. I'm going to go ahead and move over to your slide, and you can take over the presentation from here. Just tell me when you want me to move the slides.
Perfect. Well, thank you very much, Cindy. I really appreciate the opportunity to be on your call and talk more about Office Evolution. It couldn't be a more exciting time. But first up, I wanted to say to all the guests on the call, you couldn't be with a better team than with Cindy and the FranNet group. They really are professionals. They really, their whole job, as Cindy explained, is to listen well to what it is that you're looking to accomplish in your move to business ownership. And we support that. For us, fit is of the paramount importance. There's lots of different franchise opportunities, but ours is a great one. And I'll tell you a lot more about Office Evolution, our space, why we're being received really well in the market and growing quickly. So we are in the co-working shared office space market. A lot of you are probably familiar with Regus as a real traditional business executive suite type concept. Some of you might also be familiar with WeWork or some of the newer players that are very open, collaborative, fun type co-working platform. Well, we're a really nice melding of the two. And Cindy, if you want to turn to the next slide, that would be great. So we began our company. Mark Hemeter, the founder, founded the company in 2003, and then he did not move forward to start franchising until 2012. So the important thing there is we have 7 corporate locations here in the greater Denver metro area. So Mark really spent years developing the concept, making sure that everything was perfect before we delved into franchising. So we've been growing really fast. Today we have 110 franchises awarded across the United States. Also, we have our 7 corporate locations still very profitable running here in the Denver, Colorado market. And the exciting thing is that we're being received really well. So Entrepreneur Magazine does rankings every year. This year we came in as the number 4 ranked concept in the new or emerging franchisors, which we're really proud of. And it's the first year we were eligible for the Franchise 500, and we hopped right in at 106. So it's a very solid, very scalable, very doable franchise opportunity that I'd love to tell you more about if you'd like to move to the next slide, Cindy. So co-working or executive office suites, we find that the space is growing at a really increasing rate. And it's somewhat what we call here the Uberization of America. People don't want to necessarily own something if they can have use of the services at a lower price point. So our model really offers people an executive office if that's what they choose to have. But the real scalable part of the business is really designed to support those, say, an attorney working out of a suburban home office who needs to meet professionally with clients. They can't meet at Starbucks. They can't have the client come to their home. So this whole space of co-working and the demand is growing not only from this entrepreneurial, you know, white-collar business market, but also in concert, big corporations are reluctant to re-sign large leases, and their employees, especially if they're younger or millennial-based, want that flexibility. So it's projected that by 2020, 40% of the entire U.S. workforce will be working out of somewhat non-traditional office space. So this whole shared office space concept. So it's a huge industry. It's growing. And we feel that we're positioned really well with what Cindy explained is somewhat more of a suburban concept, close to where we know our primary target market lives. And because we're providing a community, not just a place to have an office, we have great retention. So the average, as it says there, last bullet point is really important. The average tenure of our clientele is 5 years. Next slide, Cindy. So the exciting thing is it's a pretty simple model to open and to operate because the founder really wanted to set this business up so that much, if not all, of the back-end administration we're covering for our franchisees. So really the role of the franchisee is to be the partner there in their local community, working with Cushman & Wakefield, our nationally awarded partner to help with the real estate search. So you're looking to identify with our help and Cushman's help the right building. You run the business with only one employee, which is phenomenal. And it's a professional employee that works the hours of 8 to 5. So your job is with our support and through our software tools that we introduce you to recruit and train and manage, you know, this one business center manager. And then the third component, the third main job of the franchisee, is to manage the whole local marketing. And we have a whole lot of very fantastic programs that our franchisees plug into to make that happen. But you would be working in concert with your one employee to be involved with local networking groups, your Rotary, your Chamber of Commerce, lots of different other digital marketing programs that you can plug into that will help drive local search engine optimization and get more people to want to tour and come into the center. So it is truly a semi-absentee ownership opportunity. We want to always clarify, don't focus on the second half of the hyphen. Not too much can happen absentee, but it truly is once you have established your center and you have your employee, the centers run very well. And you're just managing the manager. Next slide, Cindy. So speaking of the manager, we call it the business center manager, one professional employee. And they really are just excited as you see our worker here, Cindy. And really the reason they're so excited is they're wearing multiple hats during the course of the day, but their primary job is to create a community. They're helping you to fill the space initially, doing walkthroughs, listening well, signing people up for either an office or the services they need to really further the growth of their small business. But they're managing all the day-to-day operations. They're a professional receptionist for anyone coming into the space. So really filling that role of presenting themselves as being the receptionist for each and every client, not the receptionist for Office Evolution. Excuse me one second. So that's really a quick synopsis of who the business center manager is. And your role as a franchisee is, again, to hire the right person and empower them to run the center on your behalf, and our business center managers do a phenomenal job. Next slide.
Karen, I'm having a little trouble going to the next slide. I don't know why.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, no worries. You could open it up for questions if you want right now while you figure that out. I'd be happy to take questions, or would you prefer to just work out the slide?
Well, let's go ahead, and if you can maybe talk more, everybody's connected. Looks like we're having a little bit of a network issue, but if you wouldn't mind just talking to your next slide, and we'll get caught up when I can get my network established again.
So let me bring up the presentation outside of your...
Apologize, everybody. Okay. This is the thing about technology. Every once in a while this happens. I don't like it when it does, but...
So I was mentioning earlier, traditionally, when you think of executive office suites, some of you may be familiar with Regis, which is a big, you know, multinational corporation with some 4,000 locations worldwide, or you think of some of the incubator hot co-working spaces that are opening up in central business districts. Well, we borrowed on both of those concepts and really have a smaller footprint. So we're suburban. It's about 5,000 to 8,000 square feet. And within our office evolution, we have about 20 to 30 private, you know, walled keyed offices for those that do want their own office. And those can be scaled from a private office to a locking plexiglass cube at a lower price point to even something like a dedicated desk where there's a locking file cabinet and someone's working within the drop-in business lounge, but they have their own dedicated space. And then we build out the remainder of the center to really focus on those that, for whatever reason, don't need a full-time office. They do just well with their home office, but they have a need to professionally meet with clients, say, several times a month. So the idea that we have in our core or in these public areas, three different sized conference rooms that can be rented by the hour or by the day, a big drop-in business lounge where people can, as a first-come, first-served basis, come in, use our Wi-Fi. We also have one or two open offices that can be rented. And all of these public areas are accessible through an online scheduling tool. So it's very easy to see the visibility, not just for one office evolution, but for our whole network of office evolutions. Because one of the compelling things about our opportunity for somebody that wants to office within an office evolution is they have access to all of our centers 24/7 via a security fob. So we have the same security system on the exterior of all of our office evolutions nationwide, which is just awesome. So we have the shared spaces that people can use, and then we also offer virtual services, things like call answering. So maybe you need to, maybe you're a home-based roofing contractor and having someone professionally answer your incoming calls, not having them go to voicemail, we can schedule appointments. So we have the virtual receptionist. We have a mail-only program if you want a professional address, you know, for your business. All your mail and packages would come to our secure location. So we have a whole series of different programs depending on what someone needs. And the beautiful thing for the franchisee is it's very scalable. So you're working with a real estate concept, you know, with a fixed amount of square footage, but your revenue is scalable because you can add additional members for all these different categories that I described, and it just makes your business more profitable, you know, for that fixed space. Did you get the slide to work, Cindy?
You know, I apologize. I didn't.
Okay, no
I'm
worry.
I'm not sure what our technical issue is, but ReadyTalk is not letting us advance. So what we may have to do is go ahead and plan on when you're done talking, Karen, and I apologize if you use your slides. We'll just have people ask questions then based on what they hear from you. So my apologies.
No, that's fine. And so one way you can look at our model is think of it like a health club where, you know, as a health club owner, you have your fixed floor plan, you buy all your machines, and then as you're adding additional members to utilize the space, you're increasing your profitability. So it's a subscription-based revenue stream that you're setting up there, if that makes sense. And what we've decided to do, we feel like this portion of the market is somewhat underserved. So we are setting our centers up, just like Cindy said, more of a suburban focus where accessibility is really the key. So we want to be right off a major road or highway. We want to have great parking at our building. We love it when we can find a first floor location. So we want this to feel just as easy as hopping in your car from your home and running out to your local Starbucks to do the same thing in 10 or 15 minutes, be able to readily park and run in and access, get your mail or get to your office, et cetera. So our target market are really white-collar business professionals that live in the suburbs, people like attorneys or mediators, accountants, financial planners, CPAs, insurance, real estate, therapists. We have a good share of therapists that office with us. So they're people that are typically 40-plus. We like this market. They're very stable in what they do to provide for their family. Hence, the retention is high when they find a community that they feel at home. And two, they really have a need to meet professionally with clients, maybe not every day, but often enough that having a membership with Office Evolution and access to spaces and services really helps to professionalize their business. So talking a bit about culture.
Karen, it keeps saying it's reestablishing connection. If it does, I will get caught up. So just keep talking, and
awesome.
Again, I apologize.
No problem whatsoever. So we are a very value-driven company. We do a lot more than just lip service to our values, and it really all starts with a Hawaiian word, ohana. The founder and his wife grew up in Hawaii. He grew up in a real estate developer family, so real estate development, hospitality are the things that he loves almost second only to his family. So ohana, the Hawaiian word, means family, but not in the sense of biological family, more a group of people really pulling together for a common mission or cause. And our whole reason for being is the support of entrepreneurism, small business. And so that's where we start with our value wheel. And then going through the things that are on this slide that you cannot see, we really believe in simplicity. We want to make it really easy for someone to be a member with us. We want to make it easy for a franchisee. So we do all the billing and collections for our franchisees. And if a client needs to go and access a space at a different location, they're still going to just get one invoice from Office Evolution, so it makes it really easy. And we're a big believer in the right kind of relationships. It should always be win-win. So we make sure that everything that we enter into follows that. So from the franchisor to the franchisee, open and collaborative communication, where we provide great value for, you know, the franchise fee and the royalties that our franchisees pay us. In turn, our business centers, you know, our clientele, they need to feel like it's a win-win for them to pay their monthly membership and in return receive the services that they value. So it all flows into this great community that we're establishing, which is based a lot on ownership. And obviously, Mark Hemeter is the owner of Office Evolution. Further, our franchisees own their local business. Much of the clientele within our Office Evolution locations are owners of their small business. So we really believe in ownership as not just a reality, but a concept where that business center manager, too, completely takes ownership that this is his or her center and they're running it and taking responsibility. And always we're wanting to be authentic. So we're an organization that really feels that it's something that we are going to do what we say what we do, and really it's something that our franchisees and the whole community learns through experience. You can't really claim that you're authentic. You prove that you are, you know, through your actions. So a little bit about Office Evolution and the support that we provide our franchisees. It all starts with the whole real estate search. So we're very actively involved in helping you find the right real estate, number one. We do all the billing and collections for our franchisees so that you don't have to hire or do that work yourself. We have an online portal where people can readily see availability of conference rooms nationwide and schedule very readily. We do all the call answering for our franchisees, and I think this is one of the key things. So rather than that one employee being torn between answering calls and really attending to people face-to-face in the business center, we've taken that call answering out of the local center so the business center manager can truly build community and be there as a great receptionist as people come in. We have enterprise-wide technology, so that's another huge thing that our franchisees don't have to figure out. And because we're managing it, we also are the help desk and the support. So it's not something that the franchisee has to step in or the business center manager has to manage. We are involved with marketing, which is key. We're developing the whole web presence and setting up the web pages. We have a very strong digital marketing team that works diligently to create that search engine optimization or that really positive SEO so that when someone goes online and Googles, like we all do, executive office space or shared office space, Office Evolution is going to rise high in the rankings. And then we have a really good program where we offer an initial training for our franchisee and the first employee here in Denver, week-long training class about a month before you open, and then ongoing training. We have several webinars through the course of a month, both for the business center managers to get additional training, share best practices, as well as monthly calls for our franchise owners. So there's really unprecedented corporate support, you know, throughout the life of your business. So I'm going to pause for a second. I think that we talked a bit about the real estate, but let me dive into that a little bit further. So we are partnering with Cushman & Wakefield. They know the specifications of what to look for. They come up with a whole long list of great buildings. You tour with them. We have weekly development meetings with our VP of real estate. And when the funnel gets narrowed somewhat, we come out and actually walk through the spaces with you and the broker. And we're really ideally looking for something that's about 5,000 to 8,000 square feet. Again, it's typically suburban. We love it if it's on the first floor, but the key is accessibility to parking, to nearby amenities, et cetera. And we have an in-house designer that once we identify real estate, we do the space planning and really help to come up with an efficient floor plan for profitability. So who are we looking for? We're really looking for people that understand and embrace our Ohana culture, because Mark, if he wished, he could have decided, I'm going to open corporate locations all across the United States. But his feeling is we really want to embrace entrepreneurism. And what better way to do it than have local people really tied to their local business community, really charged up to support small business in their area as our franchisees looking to support small business in their community. So typically, we're looking for somebody that has, you know, obviously corporate business experience. Maybe you're somebody that's in transition, but we're looking for somebody that is looking for a long-term recurring revenue stream opportunity where you can run this business with one, you know, great employee. You're looking for better work-life balance, which sometimes isn't available in corporate America anymore. And you're wanting to, you know, really positively impact that local business community. So those are some of the key things that we're looking at. Certainly, in terms of financial requirements are listed on this slide here. Typically, we're looking for a minimum of a net worth of $500,000, about $100,000 to $150,000 in liquid capital. And the initial investment, there's a range depending on parts of the country and actually the precise buildings within an area, but typically the initial investment is somewhere in the range of $200,000 to $400,000, plus any additional landlord expenses should they be part of the opportunity. So that's a little bit about the candidate profile, and I think that kind of wraps us up to the end here, where I would say it's really an exciting time to be in this space. Our business centers really provide a great service to the community, and it's a business that you can be really proud of as a franchisee as you're helping to further, you know, local business in your community.
Great. Thank you so much, Karen. Do you think now would be a good time for questions? You want me to go ahead and unmute the lines for
Absolutely.
Questions?
That would be phenomenal.
All right.
The conference has been unmuted.
I just unmuted the lines. Keep in mind, what I'd like to do is see if you're on the line now, if you wouldn't mind muting your line in the background so that we don't all hear your conversations. But are there any questions that people have that they would like to pose here on the line right now?
Yes, for me. Okay, you can throw it away. Okay.
Was there a question?
Yes,
okay, let me read
Jason
one that we
Michigan.
Okay, go ahead, Jason.
My first question is, you know, obviously, location says 5,000 to 8,000 square feet. What is the typically monthly rental for that? And then how many, you know, residents are actually renters if you need to get your break even?
That's a great question. As you probably know, real estate costs really differ greatly across the country. In general, the average is somewhere in the mid to like $25 a square foot perhaps. And so a space like 6,000 square feet might equate to about $12,000 a month. That would be $24 a square foot. But in other areas, say for instance, our San Francisco office is $51 a square foot. So it really ranges from something like low 20s all the way up to low 50s, depending on the region of the country and the actual building amenities. We find that it's very elastic, that if you're in an area where you're having to pay more for the real estate, obviously people that are needing an office are also at that same incremental difference paying more for their various offices. In terms of break even, most of our Office Evolution locations will have somewhere between 20 to 30 private offices. And so it differs, again, depending on the size of the space. But in general, you know, break even is if you're about 80% occupied and you've built up something like 20 to 30 virtual members, you would be clearly beyond break even. And then you're continually growing the virtual side of the business and, you know, completing filling all of your offices.
Karen, there is a question here in the Q&A section or in the chat bar asking about centralized health care for the one employee. I don't know, does that vary case by case, owner by owner?
You know, we are working through that right now. We feel like this would be a great thing. So what we're going to be adding this year and into the next are business services that our franchisees can take part of. So finding things like insurance, like payroll processing, like bookkeeping, that we have partners that not only the franchisee can avail themselves of, you know, for their own business, but also something that you can invite your members who are small businesses to be able to tap in as well. So we currently don't have it in place, but we're looking for a great solution, you know, for a business that just has one employee, you know, for this type setup.
Okay, fantastic. Looks like like we have another question here. How do you expand the business? For instance, increase space. Do you see, how do people grow this? Is it typically where they add on another location? How is it most people scale it?
Yeah, most of the time that's a great question. We feel like having these smaller centers are really recession proof. You're limiting your fixed overhead, and they do really well. And then in terms of expansion, having another business center, you know, 2 to 5 miles away even, will then tap into another market of people living in that area. And so expansion through multiple locations is typically the best way to do it, because then it provides that great flexibility for a member to be able to have access to and work out of all these different centers, you know, in that metropolitan community. So, for instance, here in Denver, we have our 7 corporate locations. We also have 5 franchise locations, and we get a lot of movement of people officing most often full-time close to where they live, but if they need to meet with a client in another part of the city, they have access to, as part of their membership, all these other wonderful locations.
Great. Hey, please, as a reminder, if you're on this call, would you mind muting your line? Since we do have people asking questions, that would be very helpful for us. We're getting a lot of background noise here. I do see another question in the chat box. What do you do when your one employee is ill or is called away?
The beautiful thing about our model is, since we're performing all the call answering and we're running the technology, the center can do fine every day. The business center, my goodness, I'm a little stumbly. Every day the business center manager leaves for lunch, and she puts up a sign that gives our centralized call center as a backup for assistance. Most of our offices also have an electronic receptionist where someone can come in, type in their name, and then after they put that in, say who they're wishing to meet, and it'll ring the office for them. But to answer your question more directly, is usually it's the franchisee or a family member that's trained as a backup. So if somebody's taking a vacation or is ill, you have somebody that can step in. It might be a local temporary agency where you have somebody trained as a backup. But we've got great solutions that we teach our franchisees that they can utilize in their market. But I guess I wanted to start by saying it's not a deal breaker if nobody's there. Even for a whole day, things can go very well.
Great, thank you. And we have a general question regarding the compensation for that one employee. Is there a range that you offer, or that you can help guide the franchisees on what to pay that one employee?
Yeah, we definitely would help guide the franchisee in that. And again, it's quite regional, you know, what that might be. Here in Colorado, I think there our salary is right in the $45,000 a year, right in that ballpark. And then typically we have incentives built in on top of that so that someone's incentivized for whatever stage of development the business is in to be able to earn extra money for signing up new virtual members or initially how many offices, you know, they've signed up in a given week or month, et cetera.
Great, thank you. And there is a question here on a location, a particular territory. And what we don't do on this call is answer specific territory questions, because it's really hard to answer those except on a case-by-case basis. So we ask our people on this call, if you have a question about a particular territory that might be available, to talk with your friend, that consultant, because they're going to be able to have a handle on that, and they can talk about specifics for a particular market. There is a question here on how you handle if a member from another location comes to use your location. How is that dealt with from a revenue perspective? Do they do revenue sharing?
That's a great question. And, again, it goes back to one of our core values of simplicity. So it's, again, simple for the member They're going to still get just one invoice from Office Evolution, but it's also simple from the franchisee perspective. So what we would do is the revenue, the member signs up at one location, and they're always going to be paying their monthly membership to that location. But let's just say they're utilizing 2 hours of conference room at another franchisee's location. We take care of that intercompany reconciliation of dollars on the back end, so the franchisees don't have to worry about billing each other, but it's very simple for all.
Great. Thank you, Karen. And there's a question here about any vision for adding video conferencing in one of the shared conference areas, or does it exist? And I can speak to this a little bit because I placed the client in Aurora, Colorado, and he has a very sophisticated Office Evolution. And I would imagine, Karen, you're the best one to answer this, but I would imagine that it's case-to-case depending on the technology of the facility. Is that correct?
It really is. And so it's somewhat, you know, the pipes that are needed for full video conferencing are pretty large. And so typically our clientele, it's not something that needs to be spec'd out. So it would be something that would be at a quite a higher cost, and then you'd have to analyze how often is it really going to be utilized. So in all of our conference rooms, we have video projectors and whiteboards, and we find that for our clientele, this is the best way to hold meetings, and just a lot more efficient in terms of, you know, the bandwidth that's required for full-on video conferencing is somewhat cost prohibitive.
Great. And here's a question, and this one sort of relates to earnings claim, and I'm not sure if you can get really detailed on that. There's a question about, I think you may have mentioned this, the occupancy rate or the occupancy percentage in order to break even. Is it appropriate for you to talk about that here, or do they really just need to find out about that when they do their validation with
you know,
other
the best
franchisees?
That is what we always say is, and as Cindy knows, and as probably most of you know, franchising is very regulated. So there's a federal disclosure document that really adequately answers all the money-related questions in terms of, you know, what's the upfront initial investment, what are any ongoing fees like a royalty, and also an item 19 that talks about financial performance. So the federal government really restricts what we can say verbally, and so always as a first foray into learning about a franchise, I recommend you read the FDD, and then with any franchise concept, your director or who you're speaking with can answer questions and fill in the blanks, and through your validation with franchisees, they're not under the same strictures, and they can answer really pointed questions a lot better without you know, without the federal government being dismayed, as it were.
Great. Thank you, Karen. Good answer. yes, you do have an item 19. So if they did go down the path of investigating Office Evolution as an option for them, through working with their FranNet rep, they will be able to have access to the item 19 in the franchise disclosure document, which is going to be pretty detailed and outlines some more information. Is that a fair thing to say?
Absolutely. Right. Yes.
Terrific. Brian has a good question here. How do you deal with evictions? What if one of the lessors stops paying? Do you provide access to counsel with experience in dealing with this?
Well, the beautiful thing about our model is we are not leasing space to anybody within the Office Evolution, and it's somewhat of a technicality, but everyone is signing a membership agreement. So it does, our agreements aren't subject to tenant landlord restrictions. So people are signing an agreement if they have an office. They're signing that this particular office is theirs for typically a year period of time. If they decided, well, let's just go back. And then anybody that is not having an office, we bill month to month and we bill on their credit cards. So it's a pretty recurring revenue stream where we're doing this billing. If we find that someone's credit card doesn't go through or we find that someone hasn't paid, we're doing the collections in that first 30 days. We're going to alert the franchisee. We're going to alert that business center manager, and we're going to try to collect on it. If through our work and your work no one is responding to you, it's really quite simple. We can turn off their access to the space. They all have their own individualized security fob, so they won't be able to get in and access the space. We can turn off their Wi-Fi access, which also is individualized, so somebody can't come into the drop-in lounge and try to work. They would no longer have access. So it's pretty easy to manage so that you don't have somebody utilizing the space and, you know, and incurring this bad debt is not going to go on for a long period of time.
Sounds like we have a call coming in.
Yeah,
I'm not sure how that happened.
Hello.
I'm not sure where that call is coming from. My apologies. You can hang up that line.
All right.
So we do have a question from Melanie here that we can't really get into, which is she's asking about the revenue model, profitability, income, which we basically answered, that you have to check with the franchise disclosure document. But Marcia has a question here. Sorry, I missed the info on cost breakdown. What is the franchise cost? And I think I can go back to that slide, Karen.
Yeah, are the slides up now?
There we go.
I'm not connected on the web. Let me go back here, and then I can take a look. So, in general, the upfront initial investment in our FDD is a range. So, if everything that comprises the initial investment were at the lowest end of things, it would be around $200,000. And if everything were at the highest end of things, it would be $400,000 plus. There could be additional things that are more real estate driven. But what we really say is neither the high or anything higher than the $400,000 is really practical or probable. So it generally is going to come in at anywhere between, again, market driven, $350,000 to $550,000. Including working capital, any monies that the franchisees have to contribute toward, you know, the lease improvement if the building owner isn't covering all the real estate improvements or the tenant improvements to build out the space.
And if I could add on to that, one thing that we say sometimes that initial investment for a lot of people who are just starting their search in franchising, that seems like a huge amount of money. But keep in mind what a franchisor is doing is trying to get your franchise through the phase where the difficult several first months where there's not a lot of income coming in. So they don't want to get you just opening day. They want you to get through 6 to 9 to 12 months. So that money that you need to have needs to get you and your business through that time frame. So until the business can sustain itself. So that could include things like working capital, money for rent that you need to pay, money that you need to have in the bank to cover salary expenses. So it's going to include everything top to bottom, any marketing that you need, any build-out that you need to have done, signage, anything of that nature is all included in that initial investment. So it's really and it's broken down in the franchise disclosure document, too, so you know line item by line item where all of your expenses are going in an initial investment.
Yeah, great explanation, Cindy. That's absolutely right.
Terrific. And then a couple other questions here before we end our call, but we are close to the end of our time. But Brian has a question about if you furnish their space. Talk a little bit about the furnitures and the furnishings in the location for individual renters.
Yeah, so we have a relationship with a distributor here. It's not mandatory for our franchisees, but we typically are speccing out Herman Miller furniture that has a 12-year warranty. It's very modern, lightweight, durable. And so you're outfitting the entire office with furniture so that it shows well. And in each office, there'd be you know, the desk, the phone, obviously a chair, some guest chairs, sometimes additional furniture. You're outfitting the reception area with a nice modular receptionist desk and waiting chairs, et cetera. But we've got it all figured out so that we really can provide to this one vendor, if this is who our franchisee chooses to work with, you know, the square footage of the offices, the number of offices, and very readily come up with a great furniture package that is beautiful and long-lasting and durable.
Karen, Brian clarified here, the reason why he was asking was he was wondering, what if somebody wanted to bring in their own couch, if they're a therapist or something, can they do that?
That's a great question, Brian, and typically we set up one office initially to be a therapist office because it is a part of our target market, but certainly if people want to bring furniture in, the nice thing, again, about the furniture that we're outfitting the office, it's somewhat modular, it can be readily stored, and we can put it in a storage closet as someone's bringing in, you know, furnishings that they would prefer to have. It doesn't happen a lot, but we certainly allow for that, and some people do just feel more comfortable bringing in their own furniture.
Thanks, Karen. And there is a couple of other questions here before we have to end our call. One of them is, do you see tenant improvement dollars coming in for people when in the initial negotiations of a lease space, so that may cut down on the initial price of a franchisee for a franchisee?
Well, we work with Cushman and Wakefield, so their role with our franchisees is really twofold. One, they help find great buildings, and also they're, you know, key partners in negotiating terms, and they know all the terms in a given market. They know the landlord community. So we're always going to negotiate hard to get all or most of the tenant improvements rolled into the lease. We also negotiate really hard for, it's typical in commercial real estate that you might get up front 5 or 6 or 7 months of free rent, or it's deferred to the end of the lease term, so that while you're opening your business and filling it up, you're not having to make that lease payment. So we work really hard to assist our franchisees in coming up with the best terms, you know, that the market will bear.
Great. Thanks, Karen. And I think it's important to point out, at least in the Denver market, you know, real estate is pretty tight right now. So I always like to help people understand that what tenant improvements you might be able to negotiate for in a market where real estate is plentiful is going to be different when you're trying to negotiate a space when real estate really isn't as plentiful. So you're going to be paying maybe more during those times. You're not going to be able to negotiate the tenant improvement that you'd like. So you have to be open to that and be aware of that. And then one last question here. If somebody's leasing a space in Office Evolution, do they need to, is there a length? Is there a term, a minimum term for people? I know that you have daytime virtual offices, but what about people who are signing a longer-term lease? Is there a minimum?
Yeah, they're really, you know, it's driven by the franchisee and where you are. So certainly as you're opening your business, incentives are a part of the program where you might sign someone up and allow them to be on just a 3-month period of time so that they sign up and get in, and then you know they're going to love it, and then they'll increase that. Typically, the office space we gear up for that's for a year, but we certainly aren't fixed on that, and it could be a shorter period of time. And then all the people that are utilizing the co-working or the virtual receptionist or the mail, all of those people are billed month to month on their credit card, auto draft, so that they have that flexibility to upgrade or change to a different program should, you know, their needs change.
Great. Great. Thank you, Karen. I do need to end the call. We're at the end of our time here. I want to encourage everybody, if you'd like to get a recording of this call today, I do apologize in advance for the technical issues that we had, but the audio recording went through just fine. What we'd like to do is invite you to fill out the form on our website at friendnet.com. In case you don't know who your FriendNet rep is in your local marketplace, go online to friendnet.com and find this form, find your perfect franchise in the upper right-hand corner, fill that out, and then your friend at Rep will reach out to you, and they can make sure that you get a recording of this call. So thank you all for participating today. And, Karen, thank you so much for your time. And I will reach out to you later on this afternoon as a follow-up. But thank you all again, and I hope you have a wonderful afternoon.
Great. Thank you, Cindy. I appreciate the opportunity, and good luck with your business search, everybody.
Thank you, Karen.